We continue our learning. We're in Moed Katan, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. Now, we mentioned already that on Chol HaMoed we allow a davar haavod, something where we were concerned there may be an irretrievable loss, financial loss, is allowed on Chol HaMoed, and we generally allow you to do that in the normal way. There are times that we'll see in our Mishnah where, even though it's a davar haavod, if we can do it with a shinui, we can do it shalom to kedarko, we will try to do so. So the Mishnah says like this: Sadin es ha'eshus v'esa arborim misdei ha'ilon u'misdei ha'lavon shelo kedarko ba'moed uvashvius. Oeshus are rodents, moles, and arborim we know are mice. So these achbarim and eshus, they can destroy the crops. So you want to trap them to prevent a financial loss. So we allow you to trap, and trapping generally we do not allow on Yom Tov, and we should not allow on Chol HaMoed for no reason. But this is something that we do allow because there's a potential to davar haavod. And this is allowed, mi stay ilan and stay loven. Stay ilan is like is an orchard, and stay loven is like a grain field, which does not have trees. And this is allowed shelo kedarko, but you should do it in an unusual manner. And it's allowed ba moed on Chol HaMoed and shviyas during vishmitiyah. Now there are different versions of this Mishnah. Some don't say the word shelo kedarko; they actually have the word kedarko. But understanding that it's shelo kedarko, what it's basically saying is that it can be done. You can trap them in an unusual way. So then why not do that? And others say no, since the moles and the mice are going to ruin the fields, and they can cause substantial damage to the crop. So then this is a davar haavod, and you're allowed to do it even in the regular way. Now, the Mishnah is saying here that what am I doing exactly? Tzadin, how am I going to trap them? So here we're going to dig holes to set traps. But that's a problem, because now if that's what I need to do to set a trap, I need to dig a hole. So that's another malacha, and that prepares the ground for planting. Nonetheless, Rashi explains that's a davar sheinu miskaven. My kavana here, of course, is to set up his trap, and it's not to make a hole, and therefore that should be allowed. I will say it's a psik resha, and others say maybe it's different because the form of digging is very different than the type of digging that they work in a field. No one's going to think that it looks like the person's plowing. So maybe because it's done in a different way, the type of digging that I do to prepare a trap, no one's going to think that this is a problem. And that type of shini is enough to allow such a thing. So that's once again, we allow to trap moles and mice in an orchard or a grain field, according to some in the usual manner, according to some have to do it not in the usual manner. That's the Tanakama. And that's true, by the way, by Shviyas too. We mentioned the Shemitah year as well. Shemitah year is also where we try to avoid digging, and therefore the Mishnah says, but it's okay, in order to avoid financial loss, this is going to be allowed. Vachachomim omrim, misdei ha'ilon kedarko, umisdei ha'lavan shelo kedarko. Here the Chachamim distinguish between a stay ilon and a stay lavan. If it's a stay ilon, an orchard, so they cause a lot of damage in an orchard. So the Chachamim therefore allow the farmers to dig a hole and to do it kedarko, which means you're going to hang a net even in that hole, and that is completely done by darko, the kedarkos, says the Bar Tanura. Demafsa de tfei. Ulehefsed meruba chashishu, they're afraid for a great financial loss. Lefikach, chofer guma kedarko, you'll have to dig a hole the normal way, vitola b'metsuda, and you'll have to put the trap in. So I'm digging it in the proper way, and I put a net inside, and I'm not doing it in an unusual kind of way. That is regarding a stay ilan, but a stay lavan, there I have to do it shelo kedarko. I have to do an unusual noun. Now, we have yet to explain what does it mean to do it unusually. If I'm digging a hole and I'm putting in a net, so if that's the kedarko, how would you do something shelo kedarko? So the Gemara explains, so you have here in the Bar Tanura tells you like this: no wait shelo kedarko, no wait shvud bekarka bechozek. What you do is, where the damage, and this is where a grain field where the rodents are not necessarily going to cause as much damage as they would in the orchard, so I don't set up the traps in the usual manner. What do? I hammer a stake, with a net attached to it, I hammer that into the ground. And if I move this this shvud, this spit, a little bit around in the ground, so then what's going to happen? The rodents are going to come out from where they're trapped, or where they're hiding, and they'll be trapped in the net. That's what he says. Umenanea eilech ve'eilech. I move it around. Umotzi v'nimtzeis guma nasis me'eilech. The hole is made almost automatically. Avaloi alidei chafira. But it's made incidentally, but not through a regular act of digging. And that's why of stay love on I should do shalot tegarko, because the damage is not as severe. And then the Mishnah says, umekarin es hapirtsa bamoed, you're allowed to block up a breach on cholamoid, uvashvi is bone kedarko, and if it's the Shemitah year and there's a breach, you can build normally. What it means is, if I have a wall that surrounds a garden and it falls down, so I have, or a section of it, I'm allowed to block up with stones and repair the breach in that way. I can't cement them into place. That would be considered a professional act, which we avoid. We'll see later in the Mishnais. We try to avoid to do something in a skilled kind of way, in a professional kind of way. But I'm allowed, nonetheless, I'm allowed to fix the wall so that the hole is no longer there. And if it's the Shemitah year, even though it looks like, oh, you're fixing the wall, I know what he's doing. He wants to guard his fruit so people don't come into his backyard, which is not allowed. You have to allow people, all the fruit is hefker. Nonetheless, you're allowed to build the wall, because many people are building wall just because they want the wall to be fixed, they want privacy, whatever it may be, but it's not at all to prevent people from coming in. Perek Aleph Mishnah, hey, Rabbi Meir Omer, Roin es hanigoim batchila lahakel avalo lahachmir. Here we're talking about a Kohen who's coming to inspect tzaras, and we know that the tzaras, he determines whether it's going to be tzaras or not, or whether the person is going to be confined or not, or the person is going to be of completely tameh. So we spoke about in Megillah, Metzora Muskar versus a Metzora Muchlat. But here what it means is, Batchila, it means it's the first time he's coming. It's not like the person was put away muskar for confined for a week, and now the Kohen's checking it again. Here the Mishnah is saying batchila, person coming with tzaras, and Rabbi Meir says, you know what he can do? He said, you know what? It looks like you need to go, if the Kohen's thinking to himself, it looks like this guy needs to go to be muskar, he needs to be confined for a week. So then the Mishnah says, avalola hachmir. He can't be strict and he can be silent and not tell him anything, because we don't want him to be confined and ruin his, this guy with tzaras. We don't want him to ruin his regel. Let him come back to the, doesn't ruin the chag. Let him come back to the Kohen after the chag. But he's allowed to look at it. And he said, but let's say he says, no, this is not tzaras to himself. The Kohen then can paskin for him, you're fine, you don't need to be confined, and everything's great. So that's what it means. You can see the negoim b'tchila lahakel, to be makil, that if he's tahor, he can say you're tahor, because it's simcha hilo, because that's considered a simcha, of course, for the person. Avalo lahachmir, to say that he's tummy, he should be silent. And Bar Tanur says, "V'lo yitamenu v'ratzichenu latzeis chutz la'machane." You don't want to make him tummy, so they have to go out of the machane. V'chachamim omrim lo lahakev lo lahachmir. Chachamim say, no, they should do nothing. Kohen should not render a decision at all, even lahakev. Why? Because once we allow him to look at it and make and give a psak halacha, it's impossible to say that he would have the right to be makil. It's, oh, you're okay, you don't have to be confined, and be silent if he thinks that the person needs to be confined, that it really is tzaras and it has to be checked in a week from now. He can't be silent. So therefore, better that he not look at it at all. Don't examine it at all. Don't let a person comes to you on the moed, you say, listen, I'm not allowed to look at it. I don't want to see it. And that's what the Chachamim say. Now, there is another version of this Mishnah that doesn't have the word batchila. And that means, and in fact, the Bar Tanur doesn't have the word. It says, Roin es hanegoim b'moed lahakel. And he doesn't have the word batchila in that Dibur HaMaschil. So that would mean that the machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is after the person was confined for a week and comes back to the Kohen, which means when it comes to the first time around. So it's the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Meir that the Kohen has no obligation to render any decision before the person was muskar, was put away at all. And what it's saying is as follows. So let's say the person did come, batchila, According to this version, if a person came by Tchila and the Kohen saw and examined, so according to this opinion, the Chachamim would not say that he has to render a decision. Oh, you have to say, you already saw it, you have to say the Lahakel Lahachmir. And Rabbi Meir was the one who said you could say Lahakel, but you don't have to say Lahachmir. We're saying that the Chachamim say, I agree with Rabbi Meir, that you can look at it, and you don't have to render any decision at all, but that would be Batchila. But that's not the case in the Mishnah. The case under discussion is after he was already confined for a week, and now comes back to the Kohen on a Moed, on Chol HaMoed, on the Yontif. So now, what is the Halach? So now there's a Machlokas. The Rami Meir holds the Kohen is allowed to be silent, he can look at it, and he can be quiet, which means if it's Lahakel, he can say, you're good, you don't have to be confined anymore, go home. And if he sees Lahachmir, that he would have to go back and be confined for another week, he's not going to say anything and let him go home anyway. But the Chachamim hold, no. The Kohen doesn't have the option to be silent. Meaning, once the person already had was Muskar for a week, and now he's coming for a Psak Halacha, so the Chachamim say, that's the case of the Chachamim say, don't look at it. Because here, once you look at it, when he's already been confined for a week, now you have to give him psak halacha. So that's why the Chachamim say, no, don't examine it. Lo lahakim lo lahachamim. But had it been batchila, according to this version, the Chachamim would agree that even if you looked at it, examined it, you wouldn't have to give him psak halacha at all. Voda ma Rabbi Meir. Another halacha, malakid adam atzmos of v'imo, b'nei shesim chahilo. What else can you do on Chol HaMoed? He says, you're allowed to follow. A person can gather literally his father and mother's bones for burial. This is in the days of the Mishnah. People would bury people at different times. So you have people who would bury in these kuchim, in these caves. And then eventually the body would decay and they would move the bones. Others would bury them in some type of a moist grave. And then eventually the bones would gather and reinterred in the ancestral burial place of that family. So Rabbi Meir allows the reinterment on Chol HaMoed. Now, why would you allow that? A person on that day of what we call Likud Atzamos actually has to sit, we could call it sit shiva. He's not really sitting for 7 days, but he's in Avela, so to speak, for that day. So why would we want to do that? So the answer is because there is a simcha, nonetheless, the fact that the bones of his family are now going to be buried in the final resting place. And others say, no, that the idea is that the requirement of simcha on the chag takes precedence over this, and there would be no mourning at all. You wouldn't have to sit shiva for that day if this is done during the chag. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Evel Hulo, he says it's true that the Simchas HaChag overrides the requirement to be in Avelus for that day when you reinter the body. Nonetheless, he's going to be sad. And therefore, the reburial should be delayed until after the Chag. That is Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Then the Mishnah says, Lo ya'orer adam al meso v'lo yaspidenu kodem lo regel shloshim yom. You shouldn't, yor means to awaken, to inspire, to awaken something, which are kinos, let's say, or eulogies, whatever, on almeso, velo yaspidenu, oh, that's a eulogy, for someone who passed away, a relative, before the regel 30 days. So what's happening here? So the idea of yor almeso, to inspire lamenting for someone who passed away, what happened was, it's the Bar Tanur says here, lo yavi sapton, don't bring a eulogizer, la arer al meso, to almost reawaken the sadness of a relative who passed away. Shemeze yamim rabim, he passed away many days ago, a while ago. Lachzor al krove hames, to then come back to and come around to the relatives, kiderech shechozer hasapton, just like the eulogizer normally does, shetzoek v'omer, you know what a hasapton usually does? He cries out and says, bo b'chui mi kol morei lev, come and cry with me, all of those who have an embittered heart, umishelo bo davel lov, holecho maspid akrova, and whoever goes around making this announcement, whoever still feels sad about this person who passed away, even if it was several months ago, they come around and they hear and they say a eulogy. So this person who's now inspiring other people to come once again and join in the sadness of someone who passed away a while ago, so this is something that a person should not do within 30 days of a regel. And of course, lo yaspidenu, which means you shouldn't hire someone to give a eulogy to someone who recently passed away. Once again, also kodem leregel shloshim yom. And the Gemara gives two reasons for this on Daf, Chesem and Beis, and the Bar Tanura quotes them. So he says like this, Derech b'nei Adam lichnos ma'os l'tzorach ha-regel kodem l'regel shol shem yom, because within 30 days of the regel, that's when we start learning the halachos of the regel. And that's when people start making sure they're putting money away so they can buy meat and food, whatever they need for their wine for the regel. So because they start darshing the halachos of the regel. What's going to happen? This person is now going to take all the money put aside to buy food for the regel, to pay for the eulogizer to come. And then this is going to take away from the Simchas HaRegel simply because he's not going to have enough money to buy food to prepare himself for the regel. And others say, She'ein ha-meis mishtakach min ha-leiv ela la'achar shloshim yom achar hespedo. The other reason is that it takes 30 days to forget about the mace from after the hesped. Hespedim have a very powerful emotionally, and we want a person to be ready for the regel. So if you heard a hesped within 30 days, that's going to be a problem. There is an afkamino, of course, and that is, let's say you have someone who's willing to eulogize the person and he's not going to be paid for it. So then you don't have to use any of your regular money. Nonetheless, it's still going to be said, and this may be something that we should avoid within 30 days of the regal. Now, there is some discussion about what about making a eulogy of for someone who just passed away. Is that something we should avoid within? Now, that's something we obviously don't do on the regel itself, on a Chol HaMoed, let's say. But let's say you think within 30 days of a regel, you're going to a funeral. Who says you can't have a eulogy? So there are those who say, even a person who just passed away, if you see within 30 days of a regel, you shouldn't have hespedim. And according to others, the Mishnah is only talking about eulogies of people who died more than 30 days before the regel. A person died within 30 days of the regel, you're allowed to give a hesped. After all, the relatives are already said within, and they have the 30-day, they have the shloshim going on. So, of course, the eulogy is not going to, the hesped is not going to add any more to the grief that they have already.